Good morning. Let me ask you to please turn with me into your Bibles to John chapter 4, verses 31 to 45. I bring greetings to you from your brothers and sisters of Hallelujah Christian Fellowship. It's always been a privilege to come back and preach the word to you. I'm glad to know that my last episode wasn't discouraging or disheartening or, turned you in the wrong way. But it's always good to be invited back to worship with God's people, especially for a pastor. We pastors don't get to visit other churches, and we don't get to be blessed by the larger body of Christ. And what a blessing it is to hear you sing and see various of your members serving. It serves as an encouragement to me that you're laboring faithfully to the Lord together. This is God's holy word, John chapter 4, verses 31 to 45. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for your eternal and living word. And we thank you, Father, that we are gathered to worship. And Lord, bless the preaching of your word, that it may strike the hearts of all those who hear your word being preached today, that the word would be a good reflection of the gospel of Jesus, that he has given himself up in body and blood, that we may receive him fully, that we might be united to him, and that we are encouraged that Christ remains with us. We exalt you, and we thank you, and we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you familiar with the name Bear Grylls? Most of the younger people would know. He's the one on TV programs, encouraging people to know what it means to survive out in the wilderness. He's the one eating bugs and larvae. If you go to his website, you may be excited to know that you can take a trip. A trip to the plains of Africa. It would cost you $2,365 Canadian, not including airfare. You can take that trip, but Bear Grylls will not necessarily be there. You'll go on a trip with someone who's certified to train you in wilderness survival. With all the money that you spend on airfare and the money that you spend on the program itself, you go there with absolutely no food. Why would you go on an outing to the middle of Africa to learn and to survive on nothing? It's survival training. Could you imagine how precious food and water would be after that trip? Putting your faith in Jesus changes your understanding of basic necessities. Spiritually speaking, you understand what it means to thirst and hunger in a much different way. First, what does it mean to thirst for the gospel? And secondly, what does it mean to feed on God's unlimited grace? I didn't read the earlier part of John chapter 4, but many of you are familiar with the exchange that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus basically presents himself as the living water for which she is dying to hear, and she is truly thirsting to know the Messiah to come. In chapter 4, verse 15, she says, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." But as a result of this woman thirsting for the coming Messiah and having met with the Messiah himself, she shares of this news, and what we have read in this section, chapter 4, verse 39, it says, "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." Brothers and sisters, do you remember when you first came to Christ? Do you remember when you were so longing and thirsting after the gospel hope? Some of you may still be struggling with your own personal sins and temptations. Maybe you still have spiritual questions that have not yet been answered. There may be other types of struggling, physical and emotional, psychological. But for those of you who have come to Christ, you were thirsty, and did Jesus meet and satisfy your thirst? Yes, yes, absolutely, he did. And that is the testimonies you hear of people's conversion, of when people become baptized or children get confirmed. Just like we read in this chapter, there was a woman who thirsted for this coming Messiah. And then we see the larger community also thirsting to see and meet with Jesus. And the testimony of what we've read shows us that these people found their satisfaction, found their thirst quenched. Chapter 4, verse 42. "They said to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world.'" Brothers and sisters, those of you who have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that is your testimony as well. We indeed know truly that this is the Savior of the world. Bear Grylls teaches people to survive, to look for water in various locations where there is no water. Look for the plants. They're rich with hydration. If you can't find the plants, dig in the ground, find some roots, because after you dig up the roots, you can chew on it and get some level of forms of water. If you're very desperate, your own urine could be used to satisfy your thirst. Finding Jesus, in some ways, is like being shown these alternatives, techniques to finding water. Jesus' grace and promise is to be found even in places where it looks like it's not there. His grace, his satisfaction meets you in times of your deepest pains, your deepest fears. Before conversion, you look to satisfy your thirst in various ways. You had your circle of friends. It's a mirroring of what we long for as Christian believers in the church fellowship. Before coming to Christ, many of you had a desire, a longing for a greater purpose and identity. And you either found it in your work, or in your relationships. But as believers, we find the greater identity being called sons and daughters of the living God. I hope that you continue in your thirst for the gospel. But secondly, when we meet with Jesus, we find that we feed truly, spiritually, on God's unlimited grace. The disciples here in our text, verse 31, were concerned with Jesus' immediate well-being. He was obviously busy in ministering to people. And the question on the disciples' minds was, did Jesus eat? But you see, Jesus has such a higher priority in his life. His greater mission was to bring the satisfaction of men to be reconciled before God. So obviously, food was a secondary issue. Verse 34 says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." So brothers and sisters, as we are gathered here today, as we have the communion set before us, food is a secondary issue. Many of you will go home. Many of you mothers have lunch prepared. Many of you will go and enjoy the fellowship out in the close restaurant and spend time together. It's a beautiful thing. But as Christians, to provide the person of Jesus to someone else is our main objective, because that was the main objective of our Savior. We've heard many a message or the Bible teaching us that Jesus is truly the living bread. So as a pastor, let me encourage you, how are you doing in your own personal daily devotions? Growing up in college, attending my local church back in Philadelphia, we stress so much emphasis on quiet times. I don't know if the lingo has changed, right? But how beautiful is it that individuals are spending time in God's Word? For you younger people, reading Scripture is not easy. There's lots of names that you cannot understand or pronounce. But I hope those little details will not discourage you from opening up Scripture. Even spending time in Sunday school, it seems like school. Another time for a teacher to stand before class and you to listen. And maybe even Sunday school teachers assign a certain level of homework. So students right away automatically turn their brains off. But young people, let me encourage you, please don't turn off your brains. Open up your hearts. Because this is the moment where Jesus is giving himself to you. That the word that we study and lay ourselves before is truly a reflection of the God who speaks into our lives. So the words that other teachers are feeding you is words that feed you for all eternity. So it's not just my teaching. It's not my preaching. I praise you and bless you for the various Sunday school teachers. Even in your announcements, I see ladies' meetings, men's meetings. Jans has encouraged me to join one of his theology get-togethers at one of the local restaurants. And one of these days I should make it. But what happens? Each teacher is giving you an opportunity, the student, to feed, to see how the food that they've eaten, the instructor has fed off of, is invigorating and energizing and empowering their souls utterly to live for Christ. So maybe this serves as a moment for me to encourage the teachers among you. You're feeding. And you are teaching younger brothers and sisters to feed on the Word of God. There's various ways that happens. Various men and women here that are leading small groups. Even the praise team and the support team that helps in the worship service, the leaders are encouraging them based on Scripture, right? The beauty of feeding off of God's Word is that it's very simple. You do not need a seminary degree. So some of us preachers may preach in a way that sounds sophisticated and complicated, and maybe that's the fault of seminary-trained preachers and pastors. But consider the illustration of bread itself. In many cultures, bread is a very basic staple. And the recipe for making bread is very, very simple. Some of them gets a little bit more complicated, but the basics for making bread is flour, water, and a little bit of salt. You put it in an oven or put it on a pan, and there you have bread. So let's not overcomplicate the teaching and the preaching of God's word. Parents, you are teachers in the home. You open up scripture, you read it together, you reflect on it. So let's not bring out our commentaries. Let's not go to the sophisticated, theologically correct websites to get the secondary teaching. Let's open up scripture and let's start sharing and converse and feed together. As a church body, I hope and pray that you're voraciously feeding at the feast that has been presented to you. Jesus satisfies our thirst. We have unlimited grace to be feeding off of the gospel. So in application, what can we learn? Basically, Jesus will meet all of your needs. Do you recall as Jesus was dying on the cross, one of his very last words found in John chapter 19, verse 28 says, Jesus saying these words, I thirst. Our Savior, the one who is offering life and comfort, is satisfying your thirst by the giving up of his body and his blood. So the question that I need to ask you is, what have you thirsted for before? What are some of the thirsts that you think will satisfy and quench your longings? Because we all know that those things that we thirst for are secondary longings. It might be love on a human level. You want some level of acceptance by your peers or instructor or supervisor. You want status, you want power, and you'll do whatever it takes to get it from the people around you. But those thirsts will never be quenched. Just like the Samaritan woman who was coming to the well, who is coming at midday where no one else is drawing water. She's trying to cover her shame for her life. And she knows that she's thirsting for something. And she finds it in the person of Jesus. Because our souls are thirsting for a Savior. Our souls are thirsting for the knowledge and comfort of knowing that we have been reconciled before God. We as sinners, who can satisfy that thirst unless we know that the absolute, perfect, righteous one is able to give himself up for you and I, the sinner? The second application is, where do you feed? Where do you feed? After the resurrection, Jesus instructs Peter the apostle three various times, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. And it is a blessing to see a crowd of people gathering to be fed. And what a privilege it is to bring God's word to you so that you will again be energized and redirected to go back out into the world knowing that you've been fed and that you can provide the true meal that will sustain the human soul. Do you hunger for Jesus? Do you hunger for his grace? Are you aligned with the other members of this church, knowing that they'll be committed to feeding you on a regular basis, this banquet feast, not just on a weekly basis, but on a regular daily basis? That is the joy we have of being God's people. Feed. Feed yourself, feed one another. And if you are hungering to be fed by what the world presents to you, Don't be fooled, because that satisfaction will not be met. The hunger pains will return. We have set before us the communion table today. And what a great reminder, very simply, that Jesus satisfies our thirst and our hunger. Recently, in an article on the Gospel Coalition website, there's this beautiful article written by a widow. It's entitled, "When You Don't Want to Go to Church." It's from a widow's perspective of her losing her husband, who served as an elder at their local church. And she was so discouraged and depressed at losing her husband that it pained her to return to that congregation, because it was a reminder of her husband no longer being around. She wrote this: "Exactly how does this, the communion table, translate into grace? There's nothing special about saltines and grape juice until it's called communion, a glorious reminder of God with us. The communion reminds us we are bound to Christ and He to us." You are bound to Him, and He is bound to you. He meets your needs. He satisfies you. He will quench your thirst. And so that is why we have the promise of the gospel. There will no longer be any tears shed, no more pain, no more mourning, because we are eternally bound to Jesus and to our Heavenly Father. As I close, let me close with this final question. Brothers and sisters, Christians, are you spiritual survivalists? Are you like Christian Bear Grylls is? Where do I satisfy my thirst? Where will I satisfy my hunger? If you ask it in that way, then maybe the message of the gospel hasn't gotten through. We're not spiritual survivalists. We've been invited to a heavenly banquet feast. Grace is overabundant and abounding. The body of Christ is provided for you. His blood has been shed. Our Savior, who cried, "I thirst," is the living water for your souls. And your thirst will be eternally quenched. May you be encouraged and reminded of His grace on a daily basis, so that you may bring that gospel to your friends and neighbors and coworkers and family members. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thirst and we do hunger. And as your creatures, we look for these longings to be met here in this creation. And that is why Jesus came into creation in the human form. And yet, in that human state, He remained perfect, the only one to remain perfect, that He might be the sacrificial Passover lamb for your redeemed. Father God, we exalt You, we thank You, we praise You, and we love You, because You've gotten our attention. You're satisfying our thirst, and You're satisfying our hunger, and that's been completely met in the offering and the giving of Jesus in His body and His blood. We thank You. And we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.